Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, we have somebody on who's going to talk about their area of expertise, and I'm very excited to talk with them. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Yes, so I'm Darlene Hayden. My area of expertise is parenting and youth sports.
Fantastic. My understanding of parenting when it comes to youth sports is that a lot of people focus on youth sports as what it teaches the children that are playing, but I think that what it really teaches is a lot of lessons to the adults. For instance, and it kind of mirrors what the children are learning. So like, for instance, some of the youth sports will help develop hand-eye or hand-foot coordination, just general coordination. Whereas I think that with a lot of parents, it helps coordinate what they need to do in terms of how to balance the SUV, how to transport the children around, kind of like that Tetris kind of mentality, but also how to deal with difficult other parents and the hand-eye coordination of, or the coordination of these events, how, who's going to bring the orange slices, who's going to bring the soccer balls, who's going to bring this sort of equipment, who outside of like a PTA sort of situation, it's okay, how are we going to go in together to support our children? And I think that it's kind of establishing a hierarchy, because where you have in youth sports, you have the kids that are the clear best athletes that might not correspond to their parent being the most invested parent. Whereas if you have a really, really invested parent, it won't matter if the kid is good, because the coaches are going to be like, well, they're the only ones that are, that have a big enough SUV or van to transport all of the gear that we need. We need to make sure that kid plays. And I think that that's a big indicator of who's going to get picked for a team and who's going to be available on these teams. And I think that also a big thing that a lot of people don't realize about youth sports and about how parents are involved in the youth sports is a lot of the organizing. And there's a predisposition to thinking that these people are just invested in their own children or their children's team. But there's a whole youth sports, just like any sports, leads to youth gambling. And that will be with the children themselves, obviously, usually gambling with candies or what have you.
Whatever they can get their hands on.
Exactly. But then you also have the parents who are also gambling, and they're like, well, I'm not, my significant other has told me that I'm not allowed to bet on college sports anymore. I'm not allowed to bet on professional sports anymore, but I can bet against my children's team for a couple bucks, like with a rival dad, just a friendly bet or what have you. And that's gotten a lot of people into some trouble, but like that's how the college betting and professional sports betting actually has its roots, is that it starts early with that professional gambling. And some of the best bookies are actually bookies that started as youth sports bookies, and they're just, you see them walking around, you think like, oh, that person's selling cotton candy, oh, that person's doing this, but they're actually a bookie. They got their little side hustle going on, and you can make a lot of money doing that. And it's not just coordinating who gets where, who gets picked up, who's going to bring the water, anything like that. It's also who is going to make us the most money, what rec league can we get into so we can kind of run, have a ringer in there, so to speak. And you bring that to fruition. Also, there's the dynamic of the kids are learning how to be working together as a team. The parents also, that coordination, that willingness to sacrifice and get things done for their children. And then also the idea of, but I frankly don't like the frustration of like, oh, my kid really likes this other kid, but I can't stand the parent. And like the kids are getting along. And like, what can you learn from the children after you realize like, oh, this parent is just a dearth of emotion or dearth of interest. But your kids are really getting along. And I think that that really brings together the ability of how we connect with new people, mm-hmm. because they might not necessarily be your best friends, but you have that camaraderie that you build up somewhat like a team because you want to maintain that relationship for your children. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I would probably say you probably hit it about 80%.
80%.
Yeah, okay. I would say 80%.
Fantastic. Yeah. So tell me about your experience with being a parent in regards to youth sports.
Yeah. So I have a 7-year-old son, and he has been involved in youth sports since the age of 3. So we've definitely gotten the experience of both individual sport as well as team sport. So I've definitely seen a lot of what you're talking about. Starting at age 3, my son started in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and that's something that both my husband and I had already been doing. So it was a natural, hey, we're already here. Let's get him involved. Let's see what he likes, what he doesn't like. And as a practitioner versus being the parent of a child that's doing a certain martial art, very different, very different. My husband and I, having been in it for several years, we felt like we knew what we were doing. We're like, hey, we know what's going on. We've got experience. And then once you put yourself in the dynamic of a child doing that activity, it brings out the worst in people.
Oh, I see.
You get a lot of sideline parents that are coaching that have never done a single move a day in their life, right? So the dynamic of understanding, and I think it's really interesting to hear you say your kids find a common ground, and then you meet parents that you're like, this is the worst experience. But the kids seem to like each other and they have something in common because they're both doing this activity together. Definitely have been around in that since Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at age 3, 4, right? So the individualized sports, it's a very interesting dynamic because moving from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, my son did BMX racing starting at age 5, and all the kids are fighting for their own medals. And it's a great learning experience in an individualized sport because you're kind of just measuring your child's progress against what they've done. But there is always a competitive nature. And when you kind of add something like a bunch of wobbly 5-year-olds on BMX bikes and jumps and speed, there is a certain level of aggression that you get with parents and even some of the kids that you're just like, I can't even believe we're taking this seriously. Like, I have to help my kid wipe his own butt still, but I can't expect him to race any faster or to do any more than what I think he's doing well at. And that's always been my stance as a parent with any sport or activity. It's just like, hey, you do you. I'll support you as much as I can. And I think that's what's fared the best for me as a sports parent is I have no big expectations other than try your best, have fun, and be a good person. So I've definitely taken the time to really step back and make sure that I understand why he's there. And like you said, understanding all of these other characteristics that you get from sports. Putting my kid in jiu-jitsu at the age of 3, there was no expectation that he would ever be good at jiu-jitsu. He should suck at it. He should be terrible at it. He's 3. The expectation was, hey, go out there, have fun with other kids, learn to follow directions from somebody other than me, be able to kind of follow that group dynamic.
Right.
So that really carried on over to learning how to ride a bike and racing BMX at 5. And he also started hockey at 4. And hockey is a little bit different when you're starting at a young age. And hockey is a big sport in Canada versus the US. So I'm sure in Canada, kids are coming out of the womb in ice skates and learning how to play hockey supernaturally. But in the US, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So the Canadian kids, I'm sure they are playing hockey before we even know that they're being conceived. But here, there's definitely different levels of them learning how to skate, learning how to even play hockey before they get put on teams. So my son starting hockey at age 4, he's 7 now, has been quite the tremendous journey because you watch from just being able to learn the basics of like not falling when you're on little knives attached to your little feet on ice and things like that. So we've seen our share of parents that get extremely competitive even when they're 4 and 5. Just learning how to ice skate. And it's really interesting because I think you definitely have gathered from a parent's perspective that it is more than just the actual sport. It's us being able to kind of build a support system for our son that he understands that he can do any sport that he wants to try and that we're there to support him and we'll get him from point A to point B, no matter how ridiculous a commute might be. And that's something that I've always done. So I think it's always been interesting. My son also has raced motocross and has done motocross just kind of recreationally and same thing. And I think the Tetris game that you talk about with equipment, especially for motocross, has been very interesting because the parents essentially become like a pit team.
Right.
We not only Tetris, the equipment, gas, you're outside in the desert, being that we're in Arizona, you're in the desert in 100 degree weather for the majority of the day. So you're also, as a family, coming up with a game plan of how do we stay hydrated? What do we eat? What do we pack? Everything that we need to do. So the Tetris game is so much more than just physical equipment that you might see getting into the SUV. It's right. how do we last around each other all day without killing each other?
Right.
And how do we all still make sure that we're having fun? And me as a mom, it's making sure that we do have food, making sure that everybody is hydrated. For my husband, let's make sure that you have whiskey or tequila on hand to calm your nerves because our son is on a dirt bike that goes up to 45 miles an hour. So it's been a really interesting ride for us to be able to support our son through several sports. And I think that's always been the key piece is that we've always done multiple things. We've never just done the standard, I call them standard school sports. Like we never just said, all right, baseball, basketball, that's and football, that's what's available through school. And that's what you're going to do. We've kind of just let them try a bunch of different things. We've got a great network of people that we've met over the years that just have a lot of different experience with different sports. And we've always just been like, great, let's do it. Let's support him in a healthy manner to do this really dangerous stuff and let him have fun and decide what he wants to do. So hockey has been really his primary sport that we've supported him on. And it's been great. He started just learning how to skate. And actually most recently, he's finally just made the jump from a house team, which is just the recreational team. And he's actually just gotten his first spot on a travel team with the Junior Coyotes that we just found out this past week. And I will say that jump from house over to travel is such a challenge, navigating not only how the kids are doing tryouts, working extra hard. They're extremely skillful kids, but they're kids. They're seven.
Right.
So it is such a challenge to make sure that they are trying their best and still having fun. You know, kids have, especially at the age of seven. So the group that they're in is 8U, 8 and under. Mm-hmm. And the challenge you still have is you forget, like, these little people are extremely good at skating around on these sharp knives attached to their feet. They can stop, they can maneuver, they can shoot pucks, and they play very physically. You know, they're not at an age where they can check each other by any means, but it's still a very physical sport. And to be able to manage that, their expectations of what they get out of that, or help them manage their emotions, because at the end of the day, it kind of sucks to get ran into the boards by a friend of yours that you've been skating with for 2 years, you know? So the emotional management of both parents and kids is so challenging, because then you are dealing with hockey parents, other hockey parents, and these people are insane.
Oh yeah. And absolutely. And I think that just it sounds like to some degree, it's kind of a powder keg of emotions, because there's this, obviously everything on the ice there, but then it's the parents being so invested again
all the time. And then you have the competition of spots on teams,
right.
And everything. So it gets very competitive also with hockey, and I'll say specific to Arizona, there is not enough ice per players registered with USA Hockey in Arizona for there to be a lot of available ice time. So
right.
Hockey in the desert is just not a huge thing right now. And I think my son has a great benefit of seeing the improvement of hockey, the availability of hockey a little bit more in Arizona. But that is one of the biggest challenges, is there is not enough ice time. There are not enough spots. So even from the competitive perspective, you're competing for space for your kid just be able to practice or skate. Right. So you have clinics and all these other things that kind of come around, and it's limited availability. People are fighting for spots for their kids just to be able to skate, and they pay close to $100 an hour to be able to let their kids play or practice or do a clinic. So it also becomes a very competitive, like, financial argument, right? Like, right. Well, we can afford to do this. And something like travel hockey is extremely expensive compared to other sports because we are paying for ice time, especially in Arizona. It's 100 degrees outside. I'm right. sure that the cost of maintaining an ice rink compared to somewhere that's already naturally cold is very difficult. So cost of ice is expensive. Limited availability becomes expensive. And then equipment that kids grow out of, like, every 6 months anyways, is also very expensive. So it's really interesting to see that the things that sports parents also get competitive over. You don't just get competitive over a game where team A is fighting against team B. You also have actual competition between ice time and who was able to get into a practice or a class or something like that. And it becomes that crazy. When I say crazy, you get the common crazy that people understand of, like, kids playing in a game and there's a winner and there's a loser of a team, but it does get very specific where you're even kind of competing against just playtime, even being able to play or practice. So we've had a very interesting journey with that.
I can imagine. Darlene, this has been absolutely informative for me, and I really appreciate it. If people wanted to learn more about you or
wanted to learn more about how to get involved in youth sports or how to best practices with being a parent in youth sports, what would you recommend?
Anybody that wants to kind of see maybe my journey, I'm pretty active on my Instagram at Darlizzle is my handle. I really post a lot about what we're doing, what things my child is doing, and that's really spread out across multiple activities and sports. So feel free to give me a follow there. And then really just any local area, just to find out about any youth sports, you really just have to do the research because it's so different across every state. I might speak to Arizona specifically, but sometimes you really just have to find the facility and just see what they have available. Any ice rink will kind of have a calendar of events with different teams, different levels and things like that. But hockey related, USA Hockey is really where you'll find the playbook for everything. That's playbook of the program, actual rules of the game of hockey, things like that. So I think that's been the most informative for me in the terms of hockey. And then any other sport that we've done, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, motocross, things like that, you will find kind of like a national organization that really does oversee a lot of those main things. So I think as long as you can find the organization that kind of sets the rules for the main components of any competition, race, things like that for jiu-jitsu or motocross or BMX, that's really where you'll find a lot of the information.
Wonderful, Darlene. I really appreciate it. And this was just an absolute delight for me. So thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning.